Our friend Jason Burke from Locked On A's joins us today, and we discuss ownership and the A's-Angels rivalry and the potential of the 2023 baseball season. It's time to get locked on with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day. Every show is free and available on all platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And the best way to help us out is by giving us a rate and a review. And those watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed and click the bell to be notified every time a new episode drops. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Mike, one half of Locked On Angels. John and I have been fans of the Angels what feels like forever, and we're glad that you're joining us. Right now, we're doing three shows a week until pitchers and catchers report, and we're excited about that, and we're excited about opening day. We're excited about the WBC. There's a lot to be excited about. Today, we're joined by a great friend from Locked On A's, Jason Burke, and John and Jason have an incredible conversation for you about the 2023 baseball season. So let's get to that right now.
Artie Moreno, you guys called it the buttercup effect.
Yes.
That was really funny.
Do you know why Angel fans say that?
I put it together throughout the course, like in context. I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. And then I was like, no, I get it. You build me up just to let me down.
Yeah.
You guys were saying he's going to sell the team. We are built up. And now he's like, no, I'm not selling the team. I'm here forever. And that was the let you down part. So and you guys got buttercups.
For years, they played that during the seventh inning stretch. And it was like, why are you playing this? Like, we're leading the game right now. Don't buttercup us. So, yeah, that is a term of non-endearment among Angel fans, is being buttercupped. And, man, if that was the ultimate buttercup, to think that we were moving away from Artie Moreno and all the baggage that has plagued the Angels in about the last 10 years, yeah. and to suddenly say, oh, nah, never mind, I'm good. I'm gonna stay. It's just like, what? So that was quite a day for us on Monday.
And you guys talked about this a little bit in the show, but it seems like things have changed since about 2010 or so. Can you just reiterate a little bit of that for my listeners and just what has changed? What has been that? Why has it changed since he took over in 2003, 2004? Mm-hmm. Why 2010? What happened there?
So, you know, it's funny because when Artie took over the team, it was 2003. He had just bought the club from Disney. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, Disney let the baseball people do baseball things. You had general manager Bill Stoneman. You had Eddie Bain taking care of the drafting and the minor leagues. And you know, Eddie Bain's the guy who drafted Mike Trout and Randall Grichuk and Tyler Chatwood and Tyler Skaggs and Mark Trumbo and Garrett Richards, like all within like 2 years of each other, right? Yeah. So guys that you and I know, guys that you've seen play for the Angels, mm-hmm. and you know, some of them are still in the league and whatnot. Then around 2009, 2010, Eddie Bain retires. No, not Eddie Bain. Bill Stoneman retires. And Artie Moreno brings in Tony Riggins about 2010. And that's kind of when Artie starts hiring his people, not the people that he inherited from Disney, who had put pieces in place for the Angels. And then he brought in John Carpino as the president. And they really turned the Angels into a marketing machine, a money-making machine. And I can't fault them for making money. I mean, Artie bought this for $183 million from Disney. It was evaluated at $2.5 to $3 billion by Forbes. So mm-hmm. everybody was expecting that sale to be about a $3 billion sale. So they made their profits. They have set out to do what they wanted to do, and that was mm-hmm. to make money with this team. However, that has come at the expense of good baseball decisions. And like I said, letting baseball people do baseball things, because as you know, and you've observed, our minor league system has been awful over the last mm-hmm. 10 years. Once that class of Howie Kendrick and Eric Ibar and Jared Weaver mm-hmm. and then of course Mike Trout come up, once that class, like those guys all graduated, there mm-hmm. wasn't really anything behind them and not a lot of prospects to be excited about. Yet Garrett Richards came up and he was really good. But yeah, it's been really tough the last few years. I think Perry Manassian has turned it around in the last couple of years that he's been here, especially that all pitcher draft that everyone was like, what the heck are the Angels doing? Nobody realized how badly we needed to draft 20 pitchers and sign 19 of them. And those are the guys that, you know, Mike and I and Angel fans are looking forward to seeing in the next few years. And some of them are already making an impact. Chase Silseth is a starter who had his debut against the A's and was the first from the 2021 draft class to make his major league debut. So that was exciting. But all that to say, there was a halfway point in Artie Moreno's tenure where they decided to go for the money, to go for the big bucks, and turn this thing into a marketing machine. That's why you saw Pujols get signed and Josh Hamilton and all those big signings. That's where everything changed, in my opinion.
And Anthony Rendon. Let's not forget Anthony Rendon. He's still on the team sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that is the Angels legit needed a third baseman when they signed Rendon. And we, at that point, needed starting pitching more, but obviously the Angels couldn't give Garrett Cole what he wanted. So Artie said, well, give me the next best guy. And it happened to be Rendon. And I honestly feel bad for Rendon because I think when he's healthy and put together and doesn't have hurt hips or hurt wrists, like, he is still a productive guy. And we dove into his stats a couple of weeks ago. And when that guy has runners on, he like is a RISP machine, man. When he's got runners in scoring position, he still got it. He just needs to stay on the field. And so yes, that was a very arty move to get Rendon, but also that one I give a little bit of credit for because they legit needed a third baseman at that point. So I'm hoping that he can turn it around and stay healthy this season.
I mean, if not, we'll talk about it here in the next segment, but there's some depth involved now. So that's good. But I have a fire question for you. I hope we don't get canceled. Keep listening because I want to know what your answer is. But do you hold any of this? Do you hold a grudge to Mike Trout for signing this long extension and kind of giving Artie Moreno some credibility? Because if he doesn't do that, and he had either walked out the door or he was an impending free agent in the coming years, then all of a sudden Moreno has to do like other things to improve this team. And now he's like, I got Trout. And then Trout brought in Ohtani. And then, you know, and then you go on from there. So do you dislike Mike Trout at all? Can you dislike Mike Trout at all?
No, I it's impossible to dislike Mike Trout. But I hear where you're coming from in the sense that it lends credibility to who Artie Moreno is, as in like, oh, Artie can go, look what I did. I signed Mike Trout for, you know, to be a lifelong Angel. But I also think on one hand, there's the idea that like we wanted that franchise player. And of course, Mike Trout is your franchise player. Yeah. But at the same time, I think he kind of was duped in a way, because I'm sure before he signs that deal, it's like, you know, at the time it's Billy Epler is the GM and like, all right, Mike, so here's the game plan for the next few years. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Da, da, da. And Trout himself said like, I like where we're going. I like the direction we're going and things like that. But then Billy Epler's fired after 2020. And so there's just this constant churn of like new manager, new GM, new manager, new GM. So there's been little consistency other than Artie Moreno in that. And so if I'm Mike Trout, and I get offered that deal, first of all, I'm going to take it. Second of all, like, you want to win. You want to win with a team that is hopeless without you, right? Like, don't you want to be, you want to be the guy who gets a statue outside the stadium? Like, you want to be that guy. And when they make you their franchise player and then promise you like, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to bring in pitching. We're going to get these guys to help you out and supplement this team. And just not, none of that really happened for Trout. So I don't blame him. I kind of think he was duped a little bit when he took that deal.
Poor Mike Trout. He seems like such a nice guy. And it's hard to like root against him, even though, you know, we're in the same division. I'm like, yeah, he hits home runs sometimes. That happens. Oh, well, good job, Mike Trout.
Right.
But it is, I mean, he was hurt like an entire, was it 2021?
2021. Yeah, he was.
I don't think he played the A's that year.
Yeah, dude. That was a really bad injury freak kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He was just running from second to third and pulled up on the calf. And so I think they were really worried about like an Achilles injury. And so they really took it easy on him. And then, you know, shortly after that, Rendon went out with the hip stuff. And so 21 was tough, and somehow 22 was even more brutal. So I'm hoping for a change next season, man.
Locked On Angels is brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here, and we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that can make sports betting so much fun and so easy. New customers, when you join today, you can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to the point spread to the player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. It's all on the app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet and get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB Prospect Show with our friend Lindsey Crosby. He is a prospect encyclopedia, and we're not just saying that. He goes deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow, and his podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
Would you rather have your current owner, Artie Moreno, or A's owner, John Fisher?
Oh, who?
I mean, and let's be clear, we do not like either of these men. Right. Neither of them are great, but who is less bad? Give me your take.
Man, that's a tough one. I mean,
it is.
At the very least, and this isn't a knock because I hate when people use this against A's. I really do. I hate when people use this against A's fans, like Las Vegas A's. Like, I hate that because I think it's unfair to the fans.
Yeah.
But to Artie's credit, he's kept them in Anaheim. He's kept them there. And the first 10 years, he really seemed to care about this team. I mean, he got Vladdy Guerrero and Bartolo Colon and did some things. And you know, they made playoff appearances. They got to the ALDS and like 2 years in a row, I believe. And even before that. And so it's not like they weren't competitive when he first came on, but I would hate to be, I would hate to have John Fisher because I look at the guys you have in Matt Olson and Chapman and all your pitching and to see them go away and thrive somewhere else, like you could still root for them, but it's like, man, they could have been doing that here. They should have been doing that here. The one thing I will say though, is like your guys' windows never seem to be that long. Like I won't be surprised if you guys are even good this season. Like it'll be like, oh, the A's are back. Like it's what is it? Like every 3 years you guys come up with like a super team and then you got like a great like 3 to 5 year window before, you know, they decide to trade everybody away again. But yeah, man, I have to say, I think to Artie's credit, you know, those first 10 years were really strong. And then the fact that the team is, you know, still in Anaheim and signing Mike Trout long term. And you know, we'll see what happens with Shohei, but as much as I hate to say it, I think I'd much have Moreno, but what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I like the fact that the A's go to the playoffs. That's
right,
nice.
Right.
It's the uncertainty though of, are they going to be here for like my son to watch or
seriously,
not, or are they going to be moving? And that's the not fun part.
Right.
I try to, you know, put on the brave face and be like, yeah, they're going to stay. No problem. But every now and then you're like, oh, wow, they could actually leave. And then it hits. And then you just sit on the couch watching The Last of Us by yourself in the dark.
And it'll be the last of you in Oakland, hopefully.
Yeah. good show, by the way. I did not get to play much of the video game, but that's for
either.
A different podcast.
Yes.
It was too scary for me. Episode 2 is about where I clocked out in the game. I was like, yeah, I can't do this.
not for me.
There's been some under the radar moves. The guys like Mike Petriello seem to be kind of enjoying the Angels offseason. Mm. And for me, it seems like every year they do something. But then I'm like, until they prove to me that they're going to do it, I don't believe them.
Right.
Where are you sitting? Like, which additions, which signings are you most excited about? Which ones are going to be like the big difference makers for the Angels in 2023?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, that infield is mm-hmm. going to be much better because mm-hmm. when and if and when you have an injury to a Rendon or somebody, mm-hmm. the Angels' issue is that they have the superstars, right? Yeah. They got Trout, they got Rendon, they've got Otani, they've got a pretty good young pitching staff now with a full season behind all of them, Suarez and Detmers and Sandoval. Mm-hmm. And so the issue with the Angels is that you go from tier A to tier D with nothing in between.
Yeah.
So when you add Gio Urshela mm-hmm. and you add Brandon Drury, right? If Rendon goes down, you don't go from tier A to some quad A player like a Jose Rojas. And so now you've got a capable like B, maybe C plus, maybe better, you know, B minus in Urshela and Drury. You go to the outfield and you've got a full outfield of Renfro, who I'm like, dude's going to hit 30 bombs. Like I fully believe that. And then you got Trout, who can hit, you know, 40 bombs in 119 games and not even play a full season. Then you got Taylor Ward. And as long as Taylor Ward doesn't run into a wall in the outfield, he'll be hitting 25 to 30 home runs. And so they have this like superstar outfield of mm-hmm. really good offensive guys. And then they add somebody like Brett Phillips, who, you know, is not there. He's not there for his bat, right? But
no, but all A's fans were very upset that he signed with the Angels.
Really?
I think everybody in baseball loves Brett Phillips. He is a delightful person. And
yes.
I hate that you guys have him now.
The Otani
makes you guys more likable.
The Otani and Brett Phillips memes are going to be off the hook this season. But, you know, perfectly, like, more than perfectly capable outfielder, especially in the later innings, like that guy is going to, you know, flash some leather out there. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, like, I feel good about this offseason because what the Angels were missing was like the middle of the roster. You've mm-hmm. got your superstars and you've got your up and comers, but everything in between was gone. And so they have, you know, slowly filled that in. Even Tyler Anderson, like I was somebody who really wanted him to sign with the Angels and then he did. And, you know, even if he has some regression, obviously he's not, doesn't have that Dodgers magic when you're not on the Dodger team, but I think he's going to take what he learned last season, his changeup massively improved because of the Dodgers. And I think he'll take that into the season with him. And even if he regresses a little bit, what from a 3-something ERA to like 3.5, a 4 ERA guy. Like, I'll take that. Like, behind Otani,
that's not bad.
That.
Yeah. I think that the A's currently, you said that, you know, usually it was here and here for the Angels, mm-hmm. and now there's more of this. The A's are this part. They're the B and C players. They're an entire roster of B's and C's. And I think that they're going to surprise people, honestly.
I think so too. Yeah.
They have depth, they have a lot mm-hmm. of depth.
And that's what we were missing, honestly.
Yeah. And not like superstar depth, but the A's have some pieces there where you're like, well, like they just signed Jesus Aguilar, mm-hmm. pending physical, which is apparently a big deal now. And you're like, all right, well, they also have Rule 5 draftee Ryan Noda, and also Seth Brown played there a bunch last year. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that he's going to play in the outfield, but that's not confirmed, but mm-hmm. it would make sense. And then you also have like Dermis Garcia, who has a lot of power, strikes out a lot. Jordan Diaz could be another option over there, but they might put him over at second base. There's a lot of options here that are like not horrible options by any means. They're all just guys that like need that chance. And all of a sudden you get like a guy like Jesus Aguilar looking for a bounce back, probably a trade candidate, trade deadline, but they got a bunch of these guys where I'm like, things could break okay for the A's. Like they don't need to stay like super healthy either. They could have an okay season.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued. And if we all do a crossover, like Locked On likes us to do, before the 2023 season, oh man, I'm going to have lots of fun making bold predictions. So with all of that said, where do you think the Angels stack up in the West? Where do they stack up with like the Texas Rangers, who are probably that 3-4 battle is how I see it currently.
Yeah.
But how do they stack up against the Rangers?
Against the Rangers, I mean, gosh, it just comes down to their pitching staff now. I mean, I know that Josh Jung is going to play third for the Rangers, obviously, but like, is there enough offense with the Rangers? Like, sometimes I wonder if they've got the bats. Like, I know they got Semien and Seager, but and they really improved their staff, but how do you feel about the Rangers?
Okay, well, how did you not include A's legend Jonah Heim in your yes. offense? That's great.
He's great against Shohei too.
He's great against the A's
We need Jonah Heim in Anaheim so we can call it Jonah Heim, because that needs to happen.
That does need to happen. You said that Artie Moreno was a marketing genius. It's because they dropped the Anaheim. They're Los Angeles Angels.
Right, that's
now,
true.
So that's
yeah.
why. Okay.
That's why.
I see it now. Okay. But yeah, no, that's great. That needs to happen. And then they're going to revert back to Anaheim Angels, and I would be very happy with that.
Same.
I mean, there's a lot of the talking heads and the smarter people, the analytics people, are saying that like Corey Seager is going to see a big bounce from the non-shift.
That's true.
And I will say, just to throw the A's in there for a second, I did some very light research, and it was basically looking at how Seth Brown performed against not the shift. And he hit like Freddie Freeman last year when he wasn't facing the shift. So just be ready for like a top five hitter in baseball added to the A's because there's no shift, baby.
Right.
Also, the year before, those stats were switched, and he was actually better against not the shift.
Isn't that always how it goes? You're like, ooh, this is a good stat. And then you do a little more research. You're like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm like, it could be something. It could be nothing. I don't know. But we'll see. I mean, I if I'm being optimistic, I think the A's could finish fourth if like somebody falls apart, like maybe the Rangers. Like if DeGrom gets hurt, and then John Gray's fine, but he's not like, I'm John Gray. Yeah. I think that the A's could do some stuff. We'll see. But I think that the Angels, they have the depth. And so it depends on how many games you're getting out of, if Otani is still doing what Otani does, that's great. If Mike Trout is healthy for 120, 130, you're looking pretty good. But if you're missing Trout for like more than half the season, it's not looking great.
Right.
But I could see them being like a solid three. Or do you see them overtaking the Mariners? Like, where do they stack up with the Mariners as well?
Look, man, last season we went 10-9 against the Mariners. So even with that month of no Trout, and we played, there was a terrible sequence of events when the Mariners came to town where we were throwing the ball away. And I took that clip and sent it to the Benny, Benny Hill, because that's what it was. And if Trout's there and if Rendon is there, that 3-game sweep or whatever it was, 2 out of 3 that the Mariners took, that doesn't happen. And so I know that they've made some changes. They've got some good improvements, but I mean, our crappy team went 10-9 against them, and most of those were with Trout on the team. So stay healthy, guys. Come on, please, for my sake.
I will also point out that the A's, they made a little trade. Obviously, the Mariners made a big trade in getting Luis Castillo at last year's trade deadline. The A's made a little trade, trading away their Luis Castillo type pitcher, getting J.P. Sears in return.
Yeah.
And J.P. Sears went 2-0 against him. He also was winning the third game that he faced Luis Castillo in. And just saying, random guy was able to beat Luis Castillo 3 games. It was
right.
The bullpen that blew up. So, Luis Castillo, big bad guy.
Right.
Watch out for Luis Castillo. And also, J.P. Sears might not even be in the A's rotation because they're so deep.
Yeah.
They're great. I'm very intrigued. But we've given you a lot of baseball talk today. And, you know, maybe if you don't like wrestling, we've given you almost a full episode's worth of baseball talk. But let's talk a little bit about the Royal Rumble, which is the kickoff to WrestleMania season, as they have branded it forever. And sometimes things happen, sometimes things don't. I think last year Brock Lesnar won and I didn't care. This happens a lot where it's a long match.
Right.
And then I'm like, I didn't care about the ending at all. I'm like, oh, no. It's the four biggest stars. Oh, who's going to win?
Right.
Brock Lesnar did not need to win that.
No,
so,
not at all.
I'm anti Brock Lesnar. That he could win in any other way.
He's had 100 title shots too. Yeah. So.
And then he's going to hold the title forever, and then he's going to lose it at SummerSlam. Oh, no. Right. I've seen that story. I want to see different stories.
Yes.
So this year, I will be honest, I don't watch a ton of WWE programming anymore.
AEW. Yes. My man.
I went to the show last Wednesday in Fresno. It was fantastic. Had a great time. If AEW is coming near you, go see an AEW show.
Yes.
It's a good time. They record like three different shows.
You got three shows, man. That was great.
And also they do Dark Elevation. So like the YouTube show, they did that. So I was there from like 4 to 6 watching wrestling.
Nice.
Sorry, 4 to 10 watching wrestling. It was great. I had so much fun. Let's talk about the men's Royal Rumble. There have been some rumors. I mean, one person that is, you know, projected to win was going to be a surprise entrant, but they've already announced it, and that's Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that he seems to make the most sense storyline wise. They're just going to go right back into it. He wants to win the title that his dad never got to hold. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool storyline.
I love that.
He's probably going to be one of, I think Roman Reigns is rumored to have a match on each night of WrestleMania. So he's probably going to have one of those matches.
Yeah.
I don't know that he wins the Rumble to get there though. It would be a better story probably, but I don't know that he wins the Royal Rumble to get there. So who do you think is going to win the Rumble?
I'm with you. I think Cody is going to win, and that's kind of like a sentimental favorite just because of the storyline they have going on. But my who I'd like to win, and this is something my brother convinced me of, is Sami Zayn.
Ooh,
having Sammy and all of the drama that's happened with him and the Bloodline to culminate in a Royal Rumble win, maybe even like a Royal Rumble win by mistake, or maybe it's like, hey, Sammy won the Rumble, so now Roman doesn't have to fight anybody. And Sammy's like, no, I think I do want a challenge for that. Like, there's like if they land this plane with the Bloodline and Sami Zayn super well, I think it'll be better than the like Yes Movement Daniel Bryan stuff, because Bryan Danielson is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and to see him in AEW is awesome. And his storyline going into WrestleMania 30 was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But if they land this plane with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline well, I think, to me, that storyline will top the Yes Movement, because it's been so good.
Who do I think will win? We talked about this a little bit before the show, but online. And that is, I think that The Rock's going to win.
Yeah, that's...
I think that The Rock's going to win. I think that'll
be the surprise?
Big rumors that he's going to be, the WrestleMania is in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a big story going on that he doesn't think he can get in shape in time for the match that he wants at WrestleMania. Right. Weird that story dropped a week before the Royal Rumble. It's been a rumor for, I don't know, a year and a half. Yeah,
right.
But now they're like, no.
Now
we need to squash that. So, and also they dropped the Cody Rhodes news because they had they were happy with the surprises that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to tell me that Matt Cardona is going to make people really pop?
I mean,
he's great. People love him. I'm just saying he's not at the same level as the literal Rock.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
you got to say, who else? I mean, Stone Cold could come out, but he was just in SummerSlam. So and he's also always around.
Right.
So it'd be great if he came out and did stuff, but I don't know. Maybe Vince McMahon wins this one again. Two-time champion, and he's like, and now I'm gonna sell the company, and that would be really funny.
One surprise. This is a surprise that I think will be a legitimate one if it happens, and that is I just saw it on Twitter, and it's Jay White from New Japan.
And I only know of him because of AEW.
Right.
And I like him a lot. And that would be similar to, I don't know,
AJ.
7, 8 years. Yeah, AJ, when he came through, I was like, oh, nobody knew about that. Is he a free agent or is he coming up on free agency? How's his contract?
I'm not sure what his status is, but if they were able to bring him in, that would be pretty cool.
That would be odd. And he's really good.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun. Actually, no, I'm thinking Will Ospreay. Never mind. I like Will Ospreay a lot. Jay White's fine. I just want to be surprised. I want to have fun. That's all that I ask for. Exactly. And then if the winner is great, great. But usually of late, they've been doing – I mean, Drew McIntyre in 2020, that was really cool.
And that was cool.
COVID happened, and he didn't really get to fulfill that promise. But that was like the last – I mean, and that would have been like the only kind of cool Rumble in a while for my money. Edge was a surprise, and
Keith Lee came out and went toe-to-toe with Brock. That was a cool moment.
You got to tell the stories as you're there. And with Triple H in charge – is he still in charge? What's the
final let's hope
declaration
so.
On that? Because if Vince is back, oh man, he's gonna ruin everything. Yeah. But anyways, have fun with your owner Vince McMahon of the Los Angeles Angels.
Yep, exactly.
All right, but that is all the wrestling talk, all the baseball talk that I think we can fit into today's episode. So thank you so much for making Locked On A's and Angels your first listen of the day. Because him and his brother. Great work. They do primo stuff.
Thanks.
All right. That's all that we got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, A's and Angels fans. We'll talk to you guys soon.
John and I thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB Prospect Show with our friend Lindsey Crosby. He is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. His podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Join us on Twitter at Locked On Angels and connect with John and I on Twitter and Instagram at Super Halo Bros. And you're going to want to do that because coming up on Monday is a Mailbag Monday. I'm sure you have a lot of questions about the Angels ownership with Artie Moreno staying, and are we going to sign anybody else, and what's this season going to be like, and is Shohei going to stay? We would love to hear from you. So again, get at us on Twitter at Locked On Angels, or you can get at us on Twitter and Instagram at Super Halo Bros. We would love to hear from you. And then join us on Monday for Mailbag Monday. Until then, my name is Mike, and we hope you have a great weekend. And again, we'll see you on Monday on Locked On Angels.